Today's shiur is Masechta Ksubis, Daf Kuf, and we will begin on Daf Tzadik Tes Amud Beis, and the Mishnah at the bottom of the Yadmid. Says the Mishnah, Shuma Dayonim, if property of the Yusaimim was sold by Bezdin, Shetechsu Shtus, or Sifu Shtus, and they undersold, they undervalued the property, or overvalued the property by a sixth, Mechrin Bottle, the sale is void. And as the Rishonim help us understand the Mishnah. In the previous shiur we had discussed that the halacha is that if a shliach sells property on behalf of someone, even though, as the Gemara taught us, ein oino l'kakos, there is no din of oino by property, yet if the shliach undercharged for the property, the sale is void. And as the Gemara explained, because the Mishaleach tells the Shliach, Litkuni shidaticha v'loy la'avsi. I pointed you to benefit me, not to cause me harm. Our Mishnah goes on to explain what will be the halacha when Bezdin sells property. And as the Rishonim explain, Bezdin, even according to the opinion of the Chachamim, who we just learned, is different than the typical shliach. And therefore, by Bezdin, it's not, the sale is not automatically void. It's only void when the discrepancy was a sixth. And as the Mefarshim explained, it's not that the halacha is, we then apply the rules of oino. For as we just said, there is no oino by property. Rather, Chazal said that when Bezdin is selling property, we give it a little more leeway, and if there's a sixth discrepancy, the sale is void. Less than a sixth, the sale is valid. And the riot that that's the proper way of understanding our Mishnah. For if we review the halacha of Oino, the halacha of Oino is that if there was an overcharge of a sixth, or more than a sixth, the sale is void. Less than a sixth, the sale is valid. By a sixth, the sale is valid, but the overcharge must be returned. Our Mishnah is referring to a situation where there was an exactly a sixth. So if we were applying the halachas of Oino, there should be no, the sale should not be void. It must be that our Mishnah is teaching us that we learned the halacha of a shliach, and we're learning that Bezdin doesn't have the same din as a typical shliach. It has this unique din that up to a sixth the sale will stand. At a sixth the sale will be void. But the Rishonim asked the obvious question. Once Bezdin undercharged a sixth, so it was to the detriment of the Yesoimim, and that's why Chazal voided the sale. However, if Bezdin overcharged, the sale should not be void. It's not to their detriment. Why does the Mishnah say that the same halacha applies whether Bezdin undercharged or overcharged? So the Rosh answers that Chazal wanted to remain consistent. And therefore, if the sale will be void when they undercharged, they also voided the sale when Bezdin overcharged. Another teretz that we show him give is when Bezdin sells a property, typically the buyer and seller have very great confidence in the ability and the assessment of Bezdin. And they therefore rely that when Bezdin sets a price, that's the honest price. And that's what they relied on when they entered this business transaction. Therefore, when it turns out that Bezdin either undercharged or overcharged, it was against what the assumption that this person entered into this business transaction, whether it be the buyer or the seller, and therefore the halacha is that the sale is void. But then the Mefarshim go on to ask, what happened here? We're saying that Bezdin sold a piece of property, and it turns out that they undercharged. Who said that they undercharged? If a Bezdin paskined that this is the right price, that becomes a psak, and that should be the psak that's followed. So the Rashba explain that our Gemara is referring to a situation where Beis Din themselves recognized that they made a mistake. The Shara Mishpat explains that our Mishnah is referring to a situation that there were three members of a Beis Din. They evaluated that this property is worth this much money, and then on other individuals, more individuals said that they were wrong. When it comes to evaluations, to assessments, we follow the amount of people. We count opinions. And if more people held that the assessment was incorrect versus the amount of people that held that the assessment was correct, the sale will become void. This is the opinion of the Chachamim. Hever of Shimon Gamliel Aymer, Rav Shimon Gamliel holds, Mechon Kayim, the sale is valid. Because Rav Shimon says, if we're going to void the sale, Im Kayim, Makoyach Beis Din Yofa. Beis Din is given special authority, and if we're going to treat Beis Din that their sales are voided, we've undermined the authority of Beis Din. However, continues the Mishnah, Avam also Igeres Bikaris B'Neim, if they made a letter of inspection, and the way most Rishonim explain the Mishnah now, the Mishnah is going back to the opinion of the Chachamim, where the Chachamim hold that if Beis Din made a mistake of a sixth, the sale is void. However, says the Mishnah, that if Beis Din had a letter of inspection, it was done with a public auction, there, afilu machru, shav manav masayim, a piece of property was worth 100, they sold it for 200, or shav masayim manav, they sold a piece of property was worth 200 for 100, mechron kayim. And as a machlokes rishonim, why? Some rishonim explain, that since it was done with igeres bikoris, it was done in such a public manner, that clearly is an indication that this is the true fair price and the sale stands. Another pshat that the Rishonim suggest is that even though the Chachamim and Shimon Gamliel disagree over the concept in Kain Makoyach Beis Din Yofa, it's not to say that the Chachamim, as we will see in the Gemara, completely disagree with the concept. They say that in a typical sale, that concept is not applicable. However, with a sale was backed up with a igeres bikoris, that certainly lends a lot of authority to the sale, and therefore even the Chacham will agree that that sale will stand under all circumstances. There's also a machlokes harishonim. To what degree will the sale stand? Some rishonim use the example of the Mishnah, which we just learned, that a property of 100 was sold for 200, or vice versa, 200 for 100, it was double in the undercharging or the overcharging. But if the discrepancy would be greater, there, even with an igeres bikoris, the sale would be void. Yet other rishonim hold that as long as there's an igeres bikoris, it makes no difference how great the discrepancy is, the sale is always valid. Iboilu. So they asked the following shaila. Shliach Kaman, whom do we treat a shliach? And as a fundamental machlokes rishonim, which kind of a shliach are we referring to? Some rishonim, Taisha says that that's the opinion of Rashi, says that our Gemara is asking, how do we treat a shliach? That means, if a almana sells the assets of Yisoyman, the halacha that we learned in the previous Shear applies, that any discrepancy voids the sale. Our Gemara is referring to when a different shliach, a regular shliach, sold the property. How do we treat him? Even though, as the Rishonim point out, yesterday we learned that the concept of l'tikuni shadatich of loyal afsi, which is applied by every shliach, so the Rishonim explained that Rashi will hold that the Gemara that said yesterday that the kunish of datich of loyal afsi and avoids its sale is only when perhaps the discrepancy is a sixth. However, Rabbeinu Tam explains that the Gemara's question is referring to a shliach Beis Din. The Beis Din authorized the shliach to sell the assets of the Yisoyimim, and the Gemara wants to know, how do we treat that shliach? Do we treat him like an ordinary shliach where any discrepancy will void the sale? Or do we treat him like Beis Din, that only a discrepancy of a shtus, of a sixth, will void the sale? Rav Amar Rav Nachman Shliach Kedayonim, Rav Shmuel Shleich has a din like the Dayanim. From Rashmu Babitzla, Rav Nachman, he has the din like the Almona herself. And the Gemara explains each opinion. Rava, Rav Nachman, Shleich, Kedayanim. Rava says that the Shleich has a din like the Dayanim. Ma Dayanim lavel the two. The Dayanim are not selling their own property, and therefore we could be sure that they're being honest. Af shlich lavda the day. The shlich is also not selling his own property. Lafuk almana to exclude almana the lidah, that she's selling the property for herself. And as the Rishonim explained, the almana is anxious to sell the property in order that she should be able to receive the cash. Since she's anxious to sell the property, we're concerned that she's going to undercharge just to be able to get the money. The shliach, however, does not have this consideration, and therefore we should not treat the shliach like the mona. On the other hand, Rashmu Rabisna Amar Rav Nachman says that the shliach has a din like the almona. Ma almona yechida. The almona is an individual. Av shliach yochid. And an individual is prone to making errors. Lafuki bezdin, the rabbin knew. A bezdin, by definition, is a minimum of three individuals who are less likely to make mistakes. Says the Gemara, Vilchasa, the halacha is Shliach Kamona. The Shliach has the din like an almona, and any mistake that he makes is voids the sale. Ask the Gemara, why is this different from what we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Trumas, which we quoted in the previous year? For as we learned, Mida Raisa, Chita Achas, Peteris Sakri. Taking off most minimal amount will absolve the entire produce from the Chiv Truma. However, Chazal established three shiurim. Ein Yofa, a generous person, gives a 40th. A Beidinus, an average person, gives a 50th. Ein Ra, a stingy person, gives a 60th. So the Mishnah says in Masechta Truma, Hoy Mel Shlucha, if somebody tells a Shliach, say you're trying, go and take Truma on my behalf, Torim Kadas Balabais. He should try to evaluate what the owner would have wanted to do. Vim any day Datus Balabais, but he's not familiar with what the Balabais would have done. Tarm Veninus, he should take a 50th. Echem Chamishim. Pichis Asara, but let's say he took a 40th. Or Chais Vesara, he took a 60th. Chumasa Chuma. So we see that a Shliach is given leeway. So how could our Gemara say the Shliach is not given any leeway? Answers the Gemara. By Truma, there are people that are stingy and give a 60th. And there are those that give generously. So the Shliach could tell the Mishaleach, I evaluated that you are this type of person. Selling the property for the wrong price to Usuhu is a simple error. Because Amalei, and therefore the Mishaleach could tell the Shliach, Loibayil Chalamiti, you shouldn't have made such a mistake. So as Rabbi Yashiv explained, what the Gemara means to say is that since Chazal established three Shiurim, a person, when he appoints a Shliach, has a right to understand that the Shliach is going to use one of those three Shiurim. And if the Shliach does follow one of those three Shurim, it cannot be considered that he made an error. The Chasam Sofer explains that a little differently. He says, since the Mishaleach is aware that Chazal established three Shurim, if the Mishaleach did not express and articulate to the Shliach which shear he wants him to use, the Mishaleach was aware that the Shliach may do different than what he wants, and it will not be considered that the Shliach did anything wrong. Ask Rebbe Yoshev, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that says that our Gemara, that the previous Gemara was referring to a Shliach Bezdin, ask Rebbe Yoshev, how could our Gemara compare a Shliach Bezdin to the Shliach that's taking off Truma? A Shliach that's taking off Truma is a regular Shliach. And how is the Gemara asking from a regular Shliach to a Shliach Bezdin? Answers Rebbe Yoshev. The Shliach who takes off Truma also cannot be considered your average Shliach. And he explains, because the Shlichus and Hilchus Truma is not the regular din of shlichus, and he brings a raya. The halacha is, if I appoint a shlich to do something on my behalf, and then, before the shlich actually carries out my request, I nullify, I void the shlichus is void. However, by truma, the halacha is not that way. And if somebody appoints a shliach, and before the shliach does the action, I void the shlichus is not considered voided. The only way the shlichus can be considered voided is if I actually take truma before he does. Therefore, Chazal, in the Gemara, considered the shliach of truma to be considered like a shliach of Bezdin. The Tzitzel Yezer, based on this Gemara, says that if someone is sitting in shul next to his colleague, next to his friend, and his friend wants to daven uninterrupted, so he asks his neighbor, do me a favor, when people come to collect tzedakah during davening, you take from my wallet and give tzedakah. So somebody comes during davening to collect tzedakah, and the neighbor goes and gives that person a $10 bill. After davening, the person says, you gave him $10? I never wanted you to give him such a big nesina, such a big contribution. What's the halacha? Says the Tzitzel Eliezer, just like Al Gemara says that the person that's appointed as a shliach to give truma could say, I assume that that's the kind of person you are. Similarly, the person could say, I assumed that that's the kind of tzedakah you want to give. And as long as the money he gave falls within the meiser obligation that this person has, that it will be considered that what he did is acceptable. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna bar Chanina, Amar Rav Nachman, Halacha k'divrei Chachamim. The halacha is like the Chachamim. And as the Rishonim explain, that even though we always pass him like the Chachamim, so why does our Gemara have to go out of the way to say that the halacha is like the Chachamim? Say the Mefarshim, since we also have a rule that we always follow the opinion of Shimon Gamliel, so we might have thought that here too we should follow the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel. That's why our Gemara says, no, we follow the opinion of Chachamim. Ask the Gemara, if Rav Nachman is following the opinion of Chachamim, obviously, by disagreeing with Rav Shimon Gamliel, he's disagreeing with the concept of Mak Koyach Bezdin Yofa. Ask the Gemara, v'les later Rav Nachman Mak Koyach Bezdin Yofa, does Rav Nachman not agree with the concept of Mak Koyach Bezdin Yofa? V'am Rav Nachman Amishmu, if your Simon come to divide the assets that their father left, and the way most Rishonim explain, there's an individual separate apotropos appointed for each one of the Simon, and each apotropos chooses for each of the Simon a portion. Higdilu, when these Yisoymim grow up, Yechaylim Limchais, they could protest the division. Rav Nachman Didayoma, Rav Nachman disagrees. He says, Higdilu, that even when they grow up, and Yechaylim Limchais, they can't protest. Because if you're going to allow them to protest, says Rav Nachman, Imkei Makoyach Bezdin Yofa, you've undermined the authority of Bezdin. So here we see that Rav Nachman does hold of the concept of Makoyach Bezdin Yofa. And Tosfos proves from here that it's not done, the division of apotropos is not done by goyro, by lottery, rather it's done that the apotropos sit down and try to make a fair division. Answers the Gemara like Kasha. Hard to tell. In our Mishnah, Bezdin made a mistake. They undercharged, they overcharged. Rav Nachman holds Bezdin is not infallible. And when Bezdin makes a mistake, the sale becomes void. On the other hand, in this case, Loito, the apotropsim did not make any mistake. And that's why the division stands. Ask the Gemara, either Loito or Mayachayim Limchais. If it's referring to a situation that they didn't make a mistake, so just because the Yisoyim become adults, they should be allowed to protest? Answers, the Gemara is referring to a situation, Baruchais. And as Rishayim explained, these Yisoyim are brothers. They share the same father, but they don't all have the same mother. So one of the Yesoimim received a Yerusha from his maternal grandfather. Let's say he received that Yerusha on the east side. When the Apotropsim divided up the field, divided up the assets, they gave him his portion on the west side. So as far as a fair division, it's a fair division. He got an equal share to his brothers. But he has a personal interest to have the piece of property that he's going to receive next to the other piece of property that he already owns from his maternal grandfather. Because people typically like to have all of the real estate they own in one location. It's easier to manage. And that's the machlokes. Is that a valid reason to undo the division that the Apotropsim made? She also Rav Dimi Omar, Masa also Rav Kedivrei Chachamim. There was a situation where Rav acted like the Chachamim, where Beis Din made a mistake of a sixth, and Rav voided the stay. Omar fun a parta benoy shir belezer ben parta, ben benoy shir parta agodl, imke makoyf Beis Din Yofa. He expressed the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel that Beis Din has given certain authority. When Rebbe heard this, Rebbe reversed what he did, and he said that the sale of the Beis Din was valid. Rav Dimi Masni Hochi. This is the way Rav Dimi learned the story. Rav Safra, on the other hand, Masni Hochi. He said the story in the following way. Mas Obikesh Rebbe Lasis Kedivrei Chachamim. Rebbe wanted to act according to the opinion of Chachamim and void a sale when the discrepancy was a sixth. Omel fun of parta benoy shir belazman parta ben benoy shir parta godl. Im kain, if you're going to avoid the sale, ma koich Beis Din Yofa, you've undermined Beis Din, and therefore lo yasa Rebbe samaisa. Rebbe did not act, and the Rebbe did not void the sale. So the difference, according to Rav Dimi, at one point Rebbe voided the sale, and then he reversed his opinion. According to Rav Safra, he never actually voided the sale in the first place. Says the Gemara, Leim Mahakamifki. What is the machlokes between Rav Dimi and Rav Safra? Masava Tabit Vamishna Chayzer. The Mishnah says Mistecht Bechayrus, that if a dayan makes mistakes in something that's a shikul hadas, he made a mistake in logic, what he did stands, the psak is a psak, but he has to compensate the person who incorrectly had to pay out of the dayan's own pocket. However, if a dayan made a mistake in something that's a mishnah, there the decision is reversed and not to the liability of the dayan. So Masav Rav Dimi holds that if a dayan made a mistake about something taught in the mishnah, chayzi could retract, and therefore according to Rav Dimi, since the dayanim incorrectly passing like the Chachamim instead of passing like Rav Shimon Gamliel, when they recognized that they went against what the Mishnah teaches us, they retracted. Omar Sova, Rav Safra holds, had the Dayan passing like the Chachamim, even though the Locha does not follow the opinion of Chachamim, he can't change his mind, because Ein HaChayzer, he can't change. Says the Gemara, that's not true. Loi the Kula Alma, everybody holds, Tavid Vav Mishnah Chayzer, even Rav Safra will hold, that if a dayan makes a mistake paskening against what it says in a mishnah, recognizes a mistake, the decision is reversed. Masava, the machlokes between Rav Dimi and Rav Safra was masava hoch avamaisa, masava hoch avamaisa. It's just a question exactly what happened. And the Mefarshim asked the obvious question: this teretz is such an easy, simple teretz. Why didn't the Gemara say it in the first place? So they say that the Gemara did not want to offer this teretz, because it seems that Rav Dimi and Rav Safra, the Gemara and the Havamina held, were talking to each other, and they were contemporaries. So how could they argue over a story? It must be that there was one story, and there was a halachic difference. Until the Gemara says, no, Rav Dimi and Rav Safra never spoke to each other about this situation, and they had just had different versions of what occurred. Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Sada Zavina, if an almana sells property of the assignment, and then prior Bali Chayiv come and take that property away, or it turns out that this piece of property was a stolen piece of property, it didn't really belong to the assignment, didn't really belong to the father, the Chrayis is on the assignment. Similarly, Beidina Dezavin, if a Bezdin sells property on behalf of the Amana, Achrayis Yasmi, the Achrayis is on the Yisoyimim. Ask the Marpshita, of course. The Yisoyimim are the ones that are responsible to pay the Ksuba, and since they're responsible to pay the Ksuba, they're responsible for if something happens that the sale becomes void. Answers the Gemara, correct. Amana lo Yitzchalei. There is no need to tell Stalocha by Amana. What we needed to speak about was the case of Beidina. Madatema, for one could say, call the Zovim Beidina. If anybody who buys property from a Bezdin, adata lemepikle kalahu the Zovim. It's when Bezdin sells property, everybody is aware of that sale. And therefore, explained the Rishonim, we know there's a concept of achrayis tor sofer. That if the clause in the shtar, in the sale document, doesn't include a chrayis, the halach is, it's a mistake. There's a din that the chrayis is there anyway. But one would suggest, says the Gemara, that if a bezdin sells a property, and in the shtar, a chrayis is not included, it's not because it's a mistake. It's deliberate, because bezdin is relying that if there were any issues, given that when Bezdin sells, and we'll understand this better in a moment, there's a call, everybody's aware of it. Certainly, whoever had a claim would have come. And if he didn't come, there should be no din of achrayis. Kamashmon teaches us the Gemara that even when Bezdin sells property, and even when the achrayis is omitted, we still say achrayis to a cipher, and the halacha is that to say that the Yisoyimim have this achrayis. Rav Shimon Gamliel says that even though the Chachamim said that when there's a discrepancy of a sixth, the sale is void, said Rav Shimon Gamliel, how could that be? Because im kei makoyach bezdin yofu, you're undermining the authority of bezdin. Ask the Gemara, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, ad kama, until what point does Rav Shimon Gamliel say the bezdin's authority remains? And even if they make a mistake, the sale will be valid. Ad palga, up to a half. Tanya namehochi. Amrav Shimon Gamliel. Bezdin shemokh shavim asayim b'mana. A bezdin sold a field that's worth $200 for $100, or vice versa. Shavim b'mana b'masayim, a field worth $100, they sold for $200. The loch is mechron kayim. The sale is considered a valid sale. There's a machloikis, as we said, what will be the din if there's an egeris bekairis? If there's such a discrepancy, will the sale be valid or void? Amar mei mishmeid Rabbi Yosef. Bezdin shemachar b'lo yachroza. If Bezdin sells property without going through a public auction process, nasakash tzotor b'dar mishnah, it's like they made a mistake and they went against what it says in an explicit mishnah. The Mishnah, as we're going to quote in a moment, teaches us that when Bezdin sells property of the Yisoyimim, they have to sell it with a public auction, and therefore if they sold it without a public auction, Chayzrin, the sale is not a sale. Ask the Gemara, Nasu, what is the terminology? It's as if, Vadai tol, they certainly made a mistake. The Tanan, because the Mishnah says in Masechta Erechin, Shuma Yisoyimim, when we sell and evaluate property of the Yisoyimim, Shloshim Yoyim, for 30 days we go through this public auction process. V'shuma Hegdish, if we sell Hegdish property, it's Shishim Yoyim. Machrizin, and the announcement is done, Baboika Ubaerif, every morning and every evening. And there's a machlokes how to understand this public auction process. Some explain when we say 30 or 60 days, morning and evening, it's every day, Monday, every day of the 30 or 60 days, in the morning and the evening we make this announcement. Others say it's on the Monday and Thursdays, all the Mondays and Thursdays of the 30 or 60 days. There's also machlokes, exactly where does this announcement take place. Some suggest it should be taken in the most public area to make this availability to use assets and get the best price known. So it should be done in the most public place. Others suggest it should be done near the field. And their reasoning is that typically people who walk near the property that's for sale are the people who are most likely to be interested in buying that property, and therefore the proper place to make the announcement is near the field. So we see that the Mishnah tells us explicitly that the sale has to be done publicly. So what's the Lashon Nasu? Answers the Gemara, Imahi, if we only had that Mishnah, have a minahanimi l'shliach, that when a shliach sells property, we have to go through this public auction process. Ava Bezdin, if the Bezdin themselves are selling the property, loy, then we don't have to go through this process, k'mashmon, that even when Bezdin sells it, the same din applies. Eisfer v'ashila meimor, it says in a braisa, Shema, it says in our Mishnah, Shema Dayonim, Shepisku Shtus or Yisiru Shtus, if the Dayonim overcharged or undercharged, Machrim Batal, the sale is voiled. Hashava B'shava, but if they sold it for the proper price, then the halach would be Machrim Kayim, the sale is fine. My laugh, now our Mishnah is speaking about a situation, the Layachris, they didn't announce it. And as long as they received the accurate price, the sale stands. So we see from our Mishnah that there is no need for this public announcement. Says the Gemara, Loi. Our Mishnah is referring to a situation, but the Achrus, where they did make the public announcement. Says the Gemara, Hamid the Sefer, but the Achrus. As we explained, the Sefer, the Mishnah that speaks about the Geras Bekairis, we explained the Geras Bekairis makes it a public announcement. So we see the Seif is referring to a situation where there was a public announcement. Horeish of the Loyachris. It must be that the Reish is referring to a situation where there was no public announcement. The Ktani Seif, as we learned in the Sefer, and Masur Geras Begairis, in a situation where there was a public announcement, there the halacha will be, Afil Machr Shav Mona B'Messayim, or Shav B'Messayim B'Mona Machr Kayim. Elul Oilam, we must explain that the Reish of our Mishnah is referring to a situation with the Loyachris where there was no public announcement. But if there was no public announcement, we're learning that the sale is automatically void. V'loy Kasha. Kambit Varmish Machrizin Aleim. There are certain items that the public announcements are made. Kambit Varmish Machrizin Aleim. And there are certain items that public announcements are not made. Veil Varmish Machrizin Aleim. What items are there no public announcement made about? Havodim. Slaves, batatlin, movable items, vashtaris, and documents. And the Gemara explains each one of these items why. Avadim tamamai, by avadim, why aren't there public announcement? Shemi yishma v'yivruchu. If a slave hears that his owner wants to sell him, so the slave says to himself as follows, I was very satisfied by this owner. I liked it where I was. However, I don't know who I'm going to be bought by now. I may be unhappy there, so he may run away. So that's why slaves are typically sold quietly without them being aware that they're up for sale. Metatlin v'shtaris, and metatlin v'shtaris, we're concerned shem yignav, they may be stolen. And as Mefarshim explained, typically something that's sold publicly is put out for viewing. And since there's so many people viewing it, they may come to pick it up and take it away. And that's why these items, which are easily stolen, should not be sold in a public with a public announcement. Property, on the other hand, which obviously cannot be moved and stolen, should be sold with a public auction. Bibay Seima, Kam B'Shoshe Machrizin, Kam B'Shoshe Machrizin. Sometimes there are times we go through a public auction process, and sometimes there are times that we don't. Damredoy, Lakarga, to pay head tax. When somebody has the tax collectors after them, so the pressure of paying off the taxes is great, and we don't delay by going through the public auction process. Lemazaine, again, to support the amana, she's waiting for support, we immediately give her the support, we don't go through this process. And Lekfura, if there's somebody that needs to be buried, Mazvinina B'Layach Rasta. So I saw the Mefarshim explain that it's not just that if there's Rachman Otzlan, a mace that has to be buried, and we need to sell off assets in order to be able to pay for the Levaya, we don't go through the Hakroza process. Certainly, we have to bury the mace as quickly as possible. Rather, the Gemara here is referring to a situation where somebody died, and they, the Yisoimim, the family wanted to immediately bury the person, but they didn't have any available money, so they borrowed money to be able to bury this mace. Now they're selling property to pay back the loan. Since we want that people in the future should be comfortable in lending money to people who need tzarchei kfura and people who need money to make a levaya, if people who will lend money for a levaya will know that it's going to take them a long time to get back the money, because till the assets are sold in this public auction, 30 days, they won't get back the money, they'll be reluctant to lend money to bury a mace. So that's why Chazal said we should not go through the public auction under these circumstances. There's certain places they did hachroza, and there were other places where hachroza was not typically done. As Nachman said, in Adar they never went through this public auction process. So they thought mishum to bekiv b'shuma, that the people in the Hadar are such experts that they never make a mistake, and that's why we don't have to go through the public auction. They'll always get the right price. Amar Rav Yosef ben Menuni, the day of Fanshlem and Neder of Nachman, Mishum de Karle, Bnei Achlin Nichsed Achrasta. It's not because Beis Din is so infallible, but the reason is different. When does Beis Din typically sell assets of Yisoyimim? When they can't afford to pay. In other words, it's like a house that's foreclosed on. Someone who goes and buys a house, his neighbor's house was foreclosed on, and he buys it. It's a very not nice thing. His neighbor never couldn't pay his debts, and I take his house from him. So people typically did not want to buy assets in the Hadar that was sold in public auction. And that's why in Hadar they never went through the public auction process. Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Metatlin Shei Yisoyimim, the metatlin of the Yisoyimim, Shaman Oysan Amar Kronosel Altar. We sell them immediately, because we don't want them to decrease the value, something should happen to them, so we sell them immediately. Rav Chisda Amar, Amar Kronosel Shvakim, we should sell them at the market. V'loi Pligi, and there's really no Machlaikis, Hadim Mikrav Shvuka, Hadim Merchit Shvuka. So the Machlaikis, we show them how to understand this Gemara. Some say that if this market day is soon, so we should wait for the market day, because we'll get a better price on the market day. On the other hand, if the market day is far off, and there's a concern that if we wait till then, something may happen to these assets, we should sell them immediately. Another pshat is, it depends if the marketplace is close or far. If the marketplace is close by, so there's no real concern that something will happen to these assets in transport to the marketplace, we should take it to the marketplace. If, however, the marketplace is far away and there's a concern that something may happen to them in transport, we should not take them to the marketplace. Rav Kahana had biyode, Rav Kahana had in his possession shikra the Rav Mishan Shebechakloi Yosmi, the beer of Rav Mishan Shebechakloi, who was a Yosem. Obviously it wasn't when Rav Mishan Shebechakloi was yet already Rav Mishan Shir, when he was a godel, it was when he was still a cotton. Shayad Rigla, and he waited to sell it until the Yontif. We just learned that the assets of Yisoyimim, we should not delay in selling. Omar, he said, Afagav the Nofabay Itzitzta, even though there's a concern that this beer may get spoiled, Maisa Zuza Kharifa. Yontif, there are a lot of people that are interested in beer. And therefore, even if the beer is not as good of a quality, it'll always be able to be sold. And therefore, it's worth waiting for Yontif. Because if it doesn't spoil, I'll get a great price. And even if it spoils, I'll get the same price I could have gotten today when it's not Yontif. Says the Gemara, Huna biyode chamed Ravina Zuti Yasmi. Ravina had wine belonging to Ravina Zuti, who was a Yosem. Barachsehu, who was a nephew of his. Ravina also had his own wine. Kamasik Leila Sikra, and he was taking the wine to Sikra to sell it there. Also Kamei Ravashi, and now Ravina comes to Ravashi, and Omalei, Ma'al Mutoy Bahadon, can I also take the Yisoyimim's wine with me to Sikra? Because we just learned that Yisoyimim's produce should not be taken, we're concerned that they may get ruined in transport. Amalei, sort of Ashi, said to him, La'odof medidach. Since you're prepared to treat your own wine this way, you could treat the Yisayim's wine that way. When is there halacha that you shouldn't treat the Yisayim's wine? It's if you wouldn't treat your own property that way. Here, you're obviously prepared to take your own wine, so obviously you consider the risk a very minimal risk. Otherwise, you wouldn't take your own wine there. So just like you're allowed to take your own wine there, you also could take the wine of the Yisayim with you to Sichron.